Redbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps, all we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Redbox Media.
Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Welcome. This is Dr. Michelle. You are listening to Dr. Michelle Live. You're with me on this road. You can call 573-4BREAD-4, or you can email me, dmlive@breadboxmedia.com. You can get the app on iTunes and change your world, change the world, because you're going to get ideas that really just will spur other ideas. It is like a catalyst. You've ever had seen little experiments, just one little drop of something can turn just a beaker full of what looks like water into a huge explosion. That's a catalyst. You are a catalyst. You are a catalyst for everybody around you. Meek, mild, in your house making rosaries, it doesn't matter. Bigger than life personality, like to sing on stage. You are a catalyst for the world around you. Fulfilling who you are helps your mental health. Fulfilling who you are helps your body. Your body's a real tender, but yet completely tough and resilient, but very sensitive machine, creation. It really is. I learn a lot, Job 12:7, of course. I learn a lot from watching my dog. And, you know, there are times where he's just like hanging out, and then you can see something change in his body. Just feel it. And then all of a sudden his ears go up, and he's just still sitting there. And you have no idea what's going on because you see nothing. I see nothing. I hear nothing. Then all of a sudden he gets a little bit more alert, and he runs after something that I can't even see. It happened yesterday. There's nothing there. And he's kind of sniffing at this little area and sniffing at that area. And what he heard was a lizard under a deck. The lizard came out and he was like all ready for him. He didn't take him, thank goodness. But I didn't want to see that part. But our bodies are like that. Only we don't know it. And we, I think, have almost like the worst blasphemy of all is that we deny it. Oh, I don't hear that constant news feed coming in at my gas station. I don't hear that those words don't bother me. I can eat all this fast food. It's no problem. I can throw hormones into my body or drugs into my body. It's not going to make any difference. And yet we also go the other way. Well, I'm just a chemical mess. Or we just don't seem to be aware. Now, no indictment here, because that's just us. We eat too much, we eat too little. We get obsessed about ridiculous things that aren't ridiculous at the time. They are our whole life sometimes. I mean, just think about your kids, or think about you know, your first love, and then all of a sudden they want to go with somebody else, and you're 12 years old or 10 or whatever, and your heart is broken, and you're never going to survive, right? Well, you'll survive because you did, because you're listening to this program, and chances are you're not 12. And if you are 12 and you're going through that, call me 573-4BREAD-4 and we can talk about it, because I don't want to make light of it. It really is the end of the world for you at that moment. But we learn over life that life is a process of wounds and healing and wounds and healing and wounds and healing. You never expect your child to have a sore throat, find out it's strep, and never, ever, ever have another strep throat again as long as they live. Well, we hope for that. We pray for it. And they may never. I met a man who's, I don't know, 50s, who's got a couple kids. He's a professional. Never had been on one antibiotic in his entire life. Not one. And he's doing just fine. He's just came back from France, by the way. So, you know, we are so limited by our brain. And our brain also can be our, you know, I had someone tell me one time, and I'll share this to you. It's really impersonal, and it's kind of embarrassing. So get in your seats and get ready for this. Because he was right. And this happened, and actually, okay, I'm going to tell you a story. Actually, it was when I very first started in my very first radio, Catholic radio. And I wanted to go to a Catholic radio conference, and it was being held. It was a long time ago, so it was early days. And it was being held at the EWTN headquarters. And so I went, and we had some amazing outings where we got to go to a cloistered nunnery, and you know, the people would pray for us. And it was really an experience. And it was a conference also, like any other conference. And so we're on this bus going to one of the outings, and probably to the convent. And we're on this bus, and I'm sitting on the aisle. And this other guy is sitting across from the aisle. I haven't talked to him. I haven't seen him. He's just kind of a guy. I can barely describe him other than a short sleeve plaid shirt and kind of balding and little glasses. And he turned to me. I wasn't talking to anybody. And he turned to me and he said, "Your intellect can be your worst enemy." And I thought, wow. And I, right then, I kind of knew that that was, whether it was a point of beginning conversation, I knew that was a message for me, because we can get sidelined, sidetracked by our own reasoning, our own intellect, or our own whatever we're good at, our own choices, our own wounds, our own talents. And then we can start defining the things around us or making concessions to our natural being, because we either think it through, we, as we said yesterday, rely on experts, which we have to rely on experts. But if we have no core, and it's not us reaching out to get help for us, it's more us reaching out to have someone tell us what to do or to define us, then we can get into some trouble, and it can lead to problems down the road. Well, there's a lot of things that are my worst enemy, I can tell you, and I try to overcome, I mean, don't try to overcome them, it's just ridiculous. How can I try to overcome them? I can't overcome them. I have to experience them, and then I have to acknowledge them, and then I have to check them out with valuable sources. And what I didn't do for 30 some years of my life is go to God about them. I didn't. I left the church as a teenager, and I just rebelled and had a wild life, and then became a mother, and then still married an atheist. And you know, it was just beyond that. That's another story, my whole story, my whole reconversion and all the stuff that happened in between, because, you know, it is a story. It is a real story starting the day I was born, but starting, you know, pretty much the path started diverging about the age of 14. So, you know, but I had a sense in my reconversion that when I was feeling really bad about some choices that I had made that hurt a lot of people, including me, and prevented a lot of paths in life that I wanted, that I didn't know I wanted, or I pretended, or I thought myself out, or other people said I didn't want, I heard in my own heart God say, "I was with you then." So he's with you then. He's with you now. But we need to as I started out the beginning of this program, and I want to take this program, I want to tell you about wisdom and how you get it. I also want to talk about seizing opportunity. I want to also look at our wounds and how our wounds are a foothold for the things that should keep you down or that would keep you down, and how sometimes our talents can do the same thing. So I want to begin this process with knowing that, one, you are a catalyst any place along the line. And if you've messed up, we got really a tongue-tied and hog-tied, basically. And if you've ever known what hog-tied is, it should get your front legs and your back legs all tied up so you can't run away. We get hog-tied with this whole, oh, we can't be hypocrites things. Like, oh, well, I really messed up then, so how can I be? I'm no expert. What do we say? We always preface. You hear that all the time? I've used it myself, and other people have too. Well, I'm no expert, or you're the expert in this, but so we disclaim ourselves right then and there. We tell God and everybody that we really don't have a right to say what we're going to say. And we can't, and that's not good for us within the realm of rational reality and balance, of course. We can't go about saying that you're a neurosurgeon when you're not. But we need this. You need this. You need this to be able to keep going, rise from the ashes, heal up the wounds, know you're going to have scars. And how do we go forward? And when we come back from the break, I want to tell you about a woman who cries all the time going into Mass because she has her life the way her life is at this moment, and she sees everyone around her apparently very different. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about wounds. We're going to talk about opportunity and wisdom, all in this program. I am Dr. Michelle. See you after the break.
Redbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps, all we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Redbox Media.
Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Welcome back. I am your host, Dr. Michelle. You are listening to Dr. Michelle Live. We're walking this road together, 573-4BREAD-4. You can text. You can give a subject matter. You can give a comment. You can give an experience. You can tell the person who answers the phone something, just a little something or an aside or a reference, anything that you have to offer. And you can be anonymous, and we will not track you. We won't bug you. Also, you can email me anytime, dmlive@redboxmedia.com, D as in doctor, M as in Michelle, live as in live, at redboxmedia.com. So I appreciate all those of you who do contact me and give me your feedback and or your issues, your problems, your questions, and your suggestions and your experiences. So it's all lovely because you are a catalyst for the world. You are a catalyst for the world. All right, so let's start with wisdom. How about that? What better place to start than from something from the Bible? We're going to look at wisdom, and this is wisdom 6. It's chapter 6, I think it's starting on 12. It's very beautiful. That's why I want to read it, actually, because it is beautiful. But it's inspiring, too, because it tells you a thing, and I'm going to go into this a bit with you. The reason I told you my story about that gentleman who said your intellect is your biggest, I think he said your biggest downfall or something, is because we need to be as little children. We have to use our gifts, But if our gifts get out of bounds, if we are our music, if we are our art, or if we are something that is fleeting, because we then we're disordered, aren't we? We're not in order. We're disordered. We're not in order and balance. And my hope for you is for you to restore your order and balance. Before I get into wisdom, I'll go on a little diversion. I love our little journeys together because we're always going on a side path. Look over there. Well, Dr. of Osteopathy is like a allopathic physician, is like a medical doctor, the MD. And one of the things about it that the philosophy anyway, or the historical philosophy, right now physicians are pretty much physicians, and there's so many rules, regulations, and standards, and excessive standards, and restrictions, and everything else, that they're pretty much the same. But when these two schools of medical thought parted ways, the osteopathic way of thinking was started by a gentleman, and I'll make this quick, but I think it's important because it tells you not only where I come from, but it tells you why it tells you about you. There was a gentleman, A.T. Still, who in the, I guess it was 1800s, was a physician, and he, excuse me, his family, I think it was his entire family. I could be really wrong. So any of those of you who know the particulars, I used to know the whole story, but over the years, whether his whole family died or just a child died, I don't remember. But his whole family was affected by some flu, and either all or some of them died, which was very common for the day, as you all know. It was the time before antibiotics or before certain things occurred. And as I told you a few days ago, they had these baby bottles, the pioneers of the people who traveled in the wagon trains, and they were made out of actual calf skin or sheepskin, and they would harbor bacteria, and they're trying to feed and nurture their babies, and the babies would get sick and die because they were harboring bacteria that end up killing the babies. So, you know, we do things just the best we can. But as a friend said one time, you know, even a few of the Christians survived when they were feeding them all to the lions. So we will survive, and we will do okay. So, but getting back to this thought, what he came up with is he said, you know, our modern medicine, which at the time we look back and say, well, of course, they did leeches. Well, their modern medicine was not too far off from our modern medicine because they used the natural things in life. And again, few of them survived, didn't they? Because we're here. Now, modern medicine is awesome, and it gives us some great things, and it saves lives. Yes, it does. It also can create problems. But one of the philosophies of this A.T. Still and why he parted ways with the allopathic way of thinking is that one of his fundamental ways of being, he said his goal was to develop a branch or a kind of medicine, a kind of healing art that would restore the person in front of him to maximum functioning, to optimal functioning for them, to restore the harmony and balance, and to restore their optimal functioning. So it wasn't about reliance on a particular thing, on a doctor. The goal was that the person would be restored enough where they wouldn't need to come back, or they would come back when needed. And that instead of having to constantly be tied to, like an umbilical cord, to things that didn't work well. So that theory is a beautiful theory. It's kind of where I come from as well. It's about optimal functioning for you and where you are right now. What is your optimal functioning? And are you in harmony and balance? And our early people that we know recorded, ancient Greeks before Christ, same thing. When they talked about the humors, there's a Catholic book that talks about temperament, but it really is a modern variation of talking about the different, what they called humors. That's where they didn't know what was going on in the body exactly. So they talked about different vapors and different humors. And the whole concept was to be in balance. And if you imagine gases, like colored gases in some kind of clear glass excuse me, clear glass sphere, let's say, if you notice any kind of fantasy TV show or something, like, you know, Once Upon a Time or whatever it could be, just the different, you know, purple and the blues and the this and the that, and you just imagine them all melting together to form one beautiful hue, one beautiful color. That's what we need to be. We can't do that alone. We can't do that without God, because that would be denying part of our balance. We can't do that without the Spirit. If you're uncomfortable saying God, if you're comfortable believing in Jesus, if you're comfortable in all that, that's where you're at right now. But know that there are more forces out there, and all you got to do is know that right now your wireless internet is working. And then you know, hey, I don't see that force. That's working, and I get to log on today and buy something from Amazon. And where's Amazon? No, I don't know. It's out there somewhere, but I know it exists because I'm buying something from it, and it shows up at my door. Well, how don't we buy something that we really don't know where what it exists and let it show up at our door? And that's kind of how I'm looking at things. So wisdom, before we end this program, I mean, sorry, before we end the segment, chapter 6, and it's verse 12. Wisdom is bright and does not grow dim. By those who love her, she is readily seen and found by those who look for her. Quick to anticipate those who desire her, she makes herself known to them. Watch for her early, and you will have no trouble. You will find her sitting at your gates. Even to think about her is understanding fully grown. We're going to come back to that sentence. Even to think about her is understanding fully grown. Be on the alert for her, and anxiety will quickly leave you. She herself walks about looking for those who are worthy of her, and graciously shows herself to them as they go, in every thought of theirs coming to meet them. Of her, the most sure beginning is the desire for discipline. Care for discipline means loving her. Loving her means keeping her laws. Obeying her laws guarantees incorruptibility. Incorruptibility brings near to God. Thus, desire for wisdom leads to sovereignty. If then, despots of nations, you delight in throne and scepter, honor wisdom, thus to reign forever. This is so worth getting, keeping, printing out, sticking on your refrigerator next to you, what you got to do today, because it tells it all right then and there. If you notice, wisdom is a spirit. Wisdom is an entity. Wisdom is actually described as a friend of God, a friend of man. It's a separate spirit of God. Wisdom. So wisdom needs to be part, it's from the Book of Wisdom. Wisdom is not just something that comes into knowledge. What it says, and even to think about her, her being the feminine spirit of wisdom, even to think about her is understanding fully grown. So what that tells you is to even ponder that there is a wisdom separate from our brains. To even ponder, oh, hey, I wonder if it's there. That's bigger than any that's understanding fully grown. That means that our understanding, our finite human intellect understanding, grasp of knowledge, getting what's going on, figuring stuff out, is so minute compared to what wisdom will infuse in you, like those colored vapors, like the humors. So when we come back, I want to go through this again. I want to get into some nuts and bolts stuff too, though, about character and behavior and getting over stuff and how do you seize opportunities. Well, we're going to get to all that on the other side of the break. I am your host, Dr. Michelle, and we are walking on this road together. Please email dmlive@breadboxmedia.com. See you after the break.
Redbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps. All we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Redbox Media.
Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for guidance.
Welcome back. I am Dr. Michelle, and you are with me. I am with you on this road of life, Dr. Michelle Live. You can email dmlive at breadboxmedia.com. You can call 573-4BREAD-4. You can also get the app from iTunes and just be able to log on to any archive, any episode you want to hear again. Want to share anything? It's pretty good. We have a lot out there. We're talking about wisdom. And wisdom, sometimes, you know, we talk about getting older and getting wiser. And I heard someone say living longer just to be wronger. So that's an interesting little twist on that. But we're talking, let's be upbeat about it for a minute. Let's look at the restoring balance and function. And it's so easy to be tripped up by your wounds. It's so easy to be tripped up by your own talents. It can be such a sleight of hand, such a little shell game, such a little distractor. You know, I'm thinking about a magician. You know, it's kind of like the sleight of hand or the look over there. This happens to us all the time. And we think we do it to ourselves and then we beat ourselves up. Now, if you do have at least an inkling toward wisdom, if you even say, wow, I never thought that wisdom was a spirit. I never thought it as a separate, I thought it was something you just acquired in your brain. But right here, it's telling you, the book of wisdom is telling you wisdom is a spirit. And you seek out the spirit. But the spirit is constantly seeking you out. It's like a dating website. You just need to inquire. And it's there. It's right there wanting to court you. And I'm not suggesting dating websites because that can be pretty awful. That was a pretty bad analogy, I guess, or a pretty bad example. But it's right here. I'm going to go through that again. It's so beautiful. Wisdom 6, starting at verse 12. But it's that she, for those who love her, she's readily seen and found by those who look for her, quick to anticipate those who desire her. It's like she's right there. She makes herself known to them. Watch for her early and you will have no trouble. Well, that ship sailed. I didn't watch for her early. I think I watched for her very early. How about you? Did you watch for her very early when you're little? Like I told you, when I would like scoot over in my bed, you know, making room for Jesus, and you know, so many little things as children that you're just, you know, you do because you're just not, you didn't go off your little roads and start. It's just life. It's what we do and start making all those little mistakes in life. But if you watch for her early, you'll have no trouble. You will find her sitting at your gate. So you know what? There is no. It's never too late as long as you're breathing. So this is early. Today's early. So watch for her now. Okay? Watch for her now. Even to think about her is understanding fully grown. Be on the alert for her and anxiety will quickly leave you. If you're on the alert, just be on the alert and anxiety will be alleviated. And this is like a cookbook. This is like telling you, do this, do this, do this, and this will happen. Because there is a spirit out there. You can't see it, but she's out there waiting for you. She is a gift of God. She's a part of God. She is a she. It's no mistake. They don't just make this stuff up and we can believe part of the Bible and then go, oh, yeah, but, you know, yeah, they said she, but that's a metaphor and this is a this is a that. Well, whatever. for me, I look at it and say, no, I like this. I like to be awakened to the fact that there's a she out there that is a outcropping of God. Just like if you have an angel or a saint out there, your guardian angel or Saint Michael, whoever it is, she's out there. She's God. She's a part of God, and she's a friend of man. She was given to us as a friend of man. And all we have to do is think, oh yeah, wisdom. And boom, she's here. Like, she's here right now. It's just like I said, like I ordered from Amazon, and boom, it's at my door. That's how this is. Only she's not going to take your money. She's only going to give. She's not going to take your life. She's not going to leave you with a pair of shoes that you don't want to return. And yeah, that's, I'm giving you a part of my life. That, yeah, that shoes, oh, I'll return it. And then a year later, I'm still looking at them. But I get to give them away. So that's a good thing sometimes. But, you know, that's not something that we should take lightly. We should really think about this. Or not even think about it. Ponder on it. And we got it. And it helps our anxiety. You want your anxiety to be remedied. You want your depression to be remedied. You want your feeling like you're not fulfilling your purpose to be remedied. You want your feeling to feel like you're not a good mother to be remedied. You want the feeling to feel like you're not a good girlfriend or wife to be remedied. You want a feeling like you can't stand another day with your husband if he doesn't stop drinking to be remedied. You want a feeling to, you want your feeling like I can't give up this addiction. I can't stop drinking, or you can't stop overeating, or you can't stop obsessing about your weight or obsessing about a wrinkle. You want that to be over. You want that to be relieved. Well, here's a little remedy. Is it the only remedy? No. Reach out to those counselors. Reach out to other friends and people. Do things that will help you get out into the world a little bit. But wisdom will help you through that. Wisdom will help you through that. And it tells you exactly how to do it. And one of those things which, you know, you can have one minute and not have the other is discipline. You can look and say, yeah, I'm a super disciplined person. Look what I've done so far. I've got the kids all lined up, and I've got everything down to a T, and I've got the dinners for 2 weeks in advance, and everything's clean and neat and tidy. But perhaps there's no internal discipline. And she's waiting for you. She really is. So if you just go there, take that, print it out, put it on your refrigerator along with some of the handy steps we're going to get to in the next segment, you're going to be on your road. I want to talk just a second before we go to the next break. The fact about re-injuring yourself, and again, this is how I'm tying together the whole concept of you being a catalyst, the concept of balance, the concept of restoring you to your ultimate functioning, of just thinking about wisdom, because our old wounds are hooks. They're hooks, just like a fish hook in a mouth. They're hooks because, you know, well, I don't want you to think about it, actually, because it will hurt. But you won't be able to help it at some point. It's something that gets you. You know, you're driving or whatever. And you say, man, I just thought about that. It rips my heart out. Well, think about it ripping your heart out, because that's what it's doing. It's a hook in you. Now, there's proper times for that, and proper sadnesses and proper grieving. But certain things we've done in our life. Have you had an abortion? Have you had a divorce? Have you had two or three divorces? Have you given a child up for adoption? Have you been really mean and nasty to someone? Have you stolen from your own parents to feed your own addictions? Have you pretended and lied and stolen and done whatever? These things, when you think on them as you're trying to get back in your life, those are the wounds that you have in you that you're desiring to be relieved of. Well, you are forgiven if you've asked for forgiveness. You are, but the scars and the wounds still hurt you. And as we know, if you want to put it in terms of evil, evil uses that to throw it back in your face to keep you stuck where you are. You can't go out that door because you're such a creepy person because you did this thing. You can't speak up in mass or church, not mass, but you know, you can't lead a group, or you can't be part of the after school children's program because look at your life. You know, look at all the stuff you did. Nobody, you can't do that. Those are all lies. And so I'm going to leave you that before the end of this program. I mean, the end of this segment. Those are all lies. They're just lies. And they actually are actual behavioral things in the secular world of psychology that we can talk, we can use different names of, you know, we can name it different things, you know, negative cognitive dissonance, negative self-talk, you know, old tapes, or however, we don't even know what tapes are anymore. They're all different names for the same thing. 2,000 years ago, they may have called it the devil. But it's still an evil that will keep you down and let you wallow where you are, or worse, make you think that it is all lost. It is too late. You really screwed up. Well, yeah, we may have really screwed up. You may have really screwed up. But it isn't over. It ain't over till it's over. And that's it. And it isn't over, because you wouldn't be listening to this program, because we would be praying for the repose of your soul. And we're not right now, right? Because you wouldn't be hearing this. So when you don't properly deal with those issues of the past without living there in the graveyard, as we talked about a few days ago, if you don't properly deal with those issues of the past, not by running away, denying, pretending, trying to be more pious and more overgiving and overloving than anybody on the face of this earth, while you're not dealing with those wounds, the fact that either you hurt someone or they hurt you, and actually looking at them, acknowledging them, opening them up, putting them on the table, having someone help you go through them without wallowing in them, and properly dealing with them, well, you have continual and ultimate opportunity to re-injure yourself all the time. And it does happen, and trauma does come back to revisit us. But we need to keep that in balance as well. So we're going to discuss in the last segment balance, ways to do that, things to be on the alert about, and how to keep walking toward your step, your road to healing. This is Dr. Michelle. We will see you on the other side of the break.
Redbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps, all we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Redbox Media.
Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Welcome back. I am your host, Dr. Michelle. You're with me on Dr. Michelle Live, 573-4BREAD-4. You can call anytime during our live broadcast. And you can email me anytime, dmlive@breadboxmedia.com. You also can get the app on iTunes and change the world, as you are a catalyst for the world. As we said in the beginning of the program, so believe it, because it's true, you are a catalyst for everybody around you. And I just can't say that enough. I just can't say that enough. You change my life continually. And you will today. It's the way it is. And you change other people's lives. Oh, I was going to tell you about this woman. And she changed my life. And she changed a whole bunch of people's lives, because she was just calling in to a program. And I can't remember which program it was, but she was crying. In fact, I think it was, this is like one of those little Girl Scout things, those little kid things where you're telling a story around and around, because I think the person I heard it from on the radio was talking about when they heard it on the radio. So here we go. But the message is the same. This woman goes into Mass all the time. She was very faithful. And she was alone. And she never had, for whatever reason, she could have been a nun, she could have been anything. She didn't have children, and she was alone. And I don't know whether she was divorced, whether anything. I have no idea what happened. And it got to the point where going and hearing over and over and over about the ideal of the family and the ideal family, and this is how it's done, and this is what we do, and that marks your faithfulness, and that marks your godliness, and that marks your love, and that marks your this, and it marks your that. It got to the point where she couldn't even go to church. And she still did, but she would be wounded and wounded and wounded and wounded and wounded and hurt and hurt. And it got worse and worse and worse and worse to where she wanted to start staying away from Mass. Not because she decided it wasn't for her anymore or she was having a crisis of faith, but because she just couldn't take the pain anymore. Well, that's an example. And she resolved that. And, of course, the whole concept of, I think, wherever I was listening to it, I think the concept then was that that's a point where she did need to get some counseling. And she did. She needed to get some counseling about that because she had unresolved issues that we all do, and she will carry them probably to the grave, but unresolved wounds and hurts. There are people out there right now, you out there right now, you have had an abortion, and you, because of that abortion or for whatever reason afterward, you never could conceive. And that is a wound. It hurts a lot of women. Lots and millions of women are hurt by that particular wound, whether it was something physical that happened because of the abortion, something emotional that causes you to shut down, whether it's just something or whether it was just nature that would have been it anyway. We don't know. And that's a wound. And even though that's not my wound, it hurts me to even bring that up because I know it hurts you. It hurts you. That wound can be healed. The scar will never be healed. St. Josephine Bikita on her deathbed was in a lot of torment because as we get elderly and old and infirm and more frail, a lot of those old traumas come back to hurt us. They do because they are inside of us. And yeah, they do hurt. They hurt badly. But wisdom, we don't know what wisdom wants to give to us. A sweet, beautiful girl spirit wants to give to us. We have to just ponder on her and our anxiety leaves us. Let that happen to you. Let that balance be restored. Let it happen. Now, in Your Faith Has Made You Well, the book I quote from, maybe we'll go through this book. It's kind of cool. It's a tiny little book. Barbara Hosbach. In one of the chapters, I think it's chapter 17, about seizing opportunity, that she makes a really good point that's germane to our talking right now, our journey today. It says that we need a deeper relationship with God, oftentimes, to go forward. I'm paraphrasing her right now. And what she was talking about, too, was she and I don't have time to go into it today, but it was the one she quoted was Mark 10, 46 through 52, which was about Bartimaeus and how he was a blind beggar sitting by the road, and he began to shout out to Jesus. And many just told him to shut up, you know, just be quiet, you know, forget it. And he said, "No, Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus brought him over, and he said, take heart, get up, he's calling you. He is calling you. So the guy finally threw off his cloak. He sprang up, and he came to Jesus. And Jesus said, "Well, now what can I do for you?" And he says, "Let me see again." And he says, "Your faith has made you well." Well, the thing is that against all odds, Bartimaeus, sitting there with that cloak around him at the same old corner he's always at, he's saying, "Hey, wait out there. I know he's out there." And everybody's going, "Please, just shut up, please." And even the apostles are telling him, "Be quiet, you know, because we can't deal with you." And everyone's saying, "Well, you can't jump. You can't go toward him." But he sprang up, a blind man, and went over. And that's our point, is that what she says is Bartimaeus threw down his cloak. It wasn't pried away from him. He was happy to let it go. Why? Because he had the hope of something better. Nobody willingly lets go of crutches such as denial, and I'll put in there wounds and old hurts, if the only prospect is painful status quo. But like Bartimaeus, we have the hope of something better. That an encounter with God will restore our clarity and equip us to handle reality at any given moment. So, stop there. We're running a little bit out of time, but that is the crux of the matter. It's about knowing that our hanging on to old wounds, not because we love them, but because they're all we know. And when I said yesterday, comfort zone, of course you're not comfortable being hurt all the time, but it's where you are. And people will keep you in that place. They've grown to rely on you. You fit into their puzzle being that person. And so everything kind of keeps you in this painful status quo, because at least it's a status quo. And if you just throw off that cloak and that denial and those old wounds and those old hurts, and you don't look at old things in a proper guided way through working with your counselors, working with whoever, and working with your priest, and working on your own, and working with God all together. You can't just do it alone, because a blind guy couldn't do it just all alone, because he would surely just fall flat on his face. But with that extra wisdom, with that understanding, with that balance restored, you can throw off that cloak. So here's some of the tools that we need to do. We need to, one, understand that the stress of having these old wounds keeps our emotional and mental immune systems at their lowest peak, because we're constantly trying to like let that little irritation keep pushing it away, pretending it's not there, or trying to deal with it ourselves. And then when at the weirdest times we're swiped off the road a little bit, or we're just got 2 minutes, we didn't sleep well that night, it comes back and we get rewounded, and that keeps us stuck. The next thing is that we feel like we can't go on. We can't let down. We can't trust anybody, because everyone has hurt us in our past, or we've hurt ourselves. And so we keep reinfecting ourselves, so to speak. And then we end up in this perpetual conflicted state. Well, I would love to go help these children at church, but I am no one to do that, because look at my life. I've been divorced 3 times, let's say, or once, or never married and I have children. Whatever your situation is, do not let those walls come down. I'm not going to tell you what not to do. I'm going to say, let some of these walls come down. And there are ways to do it. But first, we have to be on the alert for wisdom. We have to ask, think, say, hey, you know, maybe I'd like some of that. And maybe it will take a little discipline, meaning maybe I do have to like not decide for myself that I've got everything in order and I'm just fine. But maybe now that I'm getting these little nudgings inside, okay, it's going to take discipline for me to get over my intellect, as I said in the beginning of the program, or my practice of my violin every day, whatever your particular thing is, and make that call, carve out that time, and stop saying, I can't go see a counselor because I have after school obligations, or I have, I'm taking a second class, or you can do this. It's the discipline that starts the ball rolling, as we see in wisdom. I want you to go and find that wisdom chapter 6, and I want you to take that little thing. I want you to put it in whatever pretty way you want to, handwritten, download it just as you find it, paste it, whatever, and put it on. And look at that, and let it sink into you, because we don't understand it. You're not going to put it in your head and really get something from it. You are going to have to ponder it, and when you ponder it, she shows up. It's like wanting your that perfectly fit pair of pants from Amazon, having it show up your doorstep. Want it, and let it show up at your doorstep. We're going to continue this tomorrow for sure. Because I do want to go into talking about forgiveness again. And remember, because this is a cornerstone of one of our wounds that keeps coming back and hurting us and giving us anxiety, is the fact, the lack of forgiveness. And part of the lack of forgiveness is just that we think it's going to mean it erases all the hurt. It doesn't. But it's still powerful in and of itself. But we don't have to get there today. Get that wisdom. We'll talk tomorrow. Email me, dmlive@breadboxmedia.com. God bless you. Talk to you tomorrow.
Redbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps. All we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Redbox Media.